Like to say good morning to each of you from Colola Springs Baptist Church. We'll ask you to stand at this time. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you today that we can come to worship you in this sanctuary today. Lord, what a privilege that is. And Lord, coming and worshiping together, we have missed. And Lord, at the same time, we thank you for the ability to live stream. We thank you, Lord, that that is continuing. Father, you know the needs of every person in this building. God, we just ask you to meet needs in this worship service today. Lord, speak to hearts. And Lord, we pray for this nation. Lord, we've seen so much wrong and so much devastation. And so much thinking that is opposite of the Scripture. And Lord, I just pray that you'd bind Satan from the United States of America. Bind Satan from the forces of evil that have been on attack. And Father, we just thank you that you love us. Thank you, Lord, you promise us you'll not leave us and you'll not forsake us. Father, that's precious to us. And Father, we pray for an anointing of the Holy Spirit. In this hour, we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. It's good to see all of you this morning at the Colola Springs Baptist Church live worship. Man, we've been looking forward to that for several months of live worship. And you know, maybe you're not able to be here live, and I'm thankful today that we're live streaming as well. We're live streaming, and that explains a little bit of the awkwardness that you may have seen with me standing up here a minute ago. I'm watching Jason them count down to tell me exactly when to start. And we are now live and live streaming and going into many homes. And we're thankful and grateful for that. If you have children from 3 years to first grade, there is a children's church. Just feel free to go down that hall. It's right there on the right. There's a man there waiting that will escort you down there. Several announcements that we want to make. Please help us practice social distancing in the sanctuary and in the parking lot. We are privileged to worship live, and we want this to continue. And I believe this can continue if we'll take care of business, of staying 6 foot from each other, and you may feel free to certainly wear a mask. We ask that you utilize disinfectant upon entering the building. We ask you of all things in a Baptist church, we're going to ask you to not hug one another. So we're not going to have our meet and greet as we normally do. We're going to be singing from the screen. If you look at your pew, there's no hymn books, there's no hymnals. Announcements will be made live and on screen and on the church website. We ask that you worship the Lord through giving of tithes and offerings. As you exit the building today, there are 3 wooden boxes that have been built and put in place for that purpose. And I want to thank you for the past couple of months of the support that you've given the church financially. And then I want to ask you to pray and continue to pray for this live stream worship. Pray for this country. Many are sick. Many are unemployed. Many people are scared. There's much unrest on all fronts. Pray for the leaders of the great nation that we have. At the conclusion of the worship services today, we will be dismissing by rows. We'll start at the front row and we'll work our way back. Please stop and put your tithes and offerings in the wooden boxes. Please keep in mind that we are all in this as one. This method of church is new for all of us. It's new. We've never crossed this path before. And there may be something that we're doing today that we may change by next Sunday, and certainly give us the liberty to do that. Thank you for coming and choosing to worship today at Colola Springs Baptist Church. Chris?
Good morning. I tell you what, it's very hard. A lot of us, I've heard Jamie saying it, hadn't seen some of y'all in a couple months, and we won't come up and give you a hug. But we can't, not supposed to do that, so... air hug, like Jamie said. But I do want you to turn to your neighbor, since we can't shake hands today. We're not supposed to. And just tell them, welcome to our church, and Jesus loves you. And as we stand today, we're going to sing victory in Jesus. Let's stand.
I heard old old story, how Savior came from glory, and he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me.
There is only one thing. Amen.
Jesus, thank you for this day, Lord. God, we praise you that we're able to come back in here, Lord, with our church, with our family, Lord. We praise you, God, that we can worship together again, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Well, we thank you, God, that you are the way maker, miracle worker. You're our God, you're our Savior, you're our King. That is who you are. And we thank you, Jesus, for the victory that we have because of you, Lord. And God, my prayer today is just as it's always been. Young, old, men, women, boy, girl, if they don't know you as their personal Savior, God, that today they would make things right with you, Lord. They would accept you. And Jesus, I just pray, Lord, for those that are watching from home, Lord. God, just supply their needs, Lord, whether it be comfort. Pray, God, for your wisdom for people, Lord. I pray for all the people, Lord, that have lost their jobs, that are losing their jobs, that are struggling. You are a God. You are our God. You tell us you'll never leave us, you'll never forsake us. Jesus, I just pray today for our country. I pray for our leaders of this country, Jesus, and I pray, God, that they haven't, Lord, that they would turn to you. And I pray, God, that our church family would turn to you, Lord. Pray for our nation. Get on our knees, Lord, and pray for our nation. You have given us a great nation in the United States, Lord. Lord, I just pray today that you'll give my father the words to say, Lord, as he comes to speak to us. I ask all this in your precious name. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
This past week, I went over to LB and Jesse's house. They're living over here close to the church now rather than in Starkville. And when I pulled up in their yard, I noticed LB outside hoeing the garden. And I thought, boy, he's got her off to the right start. They've only been married a couple of months. And so I sat there a few minutes, and LB came to my truck, and I said, well, where's Jesse? You know, what I wanted him to do was come lay on the back porch and watch her hoe in the garden. But she said, Jesse is inside washing dishes. So, Jesse, I'm coming to help you, brother. That's all I'm going to say. Turn with me this morning to Psalms chapter 77. Psalm 77, verses 1 through 3. I cried unto God with my voice. Even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. And I want to read that verse again. We had a little technical difficulty there. I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My soul ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained. And my spirit was overwhelmed, Savior. This morning, I want us to think about this topic. In the midst of your crisis, are you focused on God? Could I say to you today in the United States of America, we're in the midst of a lot of crises. A lot of crises. We have people running around right now saying, don't fund the police. My friend, God is a God that set up a structure for mankind. God is a God that set up a structure that mankind is to follow. You know what? I believe that God would have policemen in the world today. We're having people that are looting and burning buildings, and some of the liberal news media is saying it's okay. My friend, that's a crime. And then we're having people who are trying to go back to their workplace and trying to go back to their houses of worship, and they have been arrested. Something's wrong. Something's wrong. And I want us to think about this message today because we're in the midst of a crisis in our nation, and so we ask you a question today. In the midst of your crisis, are you focused on God? Could I say if you are, you will not be destroyed by anxiety. You will not be destroyed by depression. You will not be destroyed by low self-esteem. You will not be destroyed by fear. You will not be destroyed by trauma. In the midst of your crisis, if you focus on God, you will not be destroyed by anxiety. What is anxiety? I would say to you, it's old-fashioned worship. Old-fashioned worry, not worship. Old-fashioned worry. 1 Peter 5 and 7 says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Cast all of your care upon Him, for He careth for you. If I cast all my cares upon Him, I won't worry about the necessities of life. I won't worry about food and clothing and shelter. If I cast all my cares upon Him, I will not be preoccupied with the material possessions of this life. Oh, if I cast all my cares upon Him, then my total focus is placed on Jesus, not on the things that this world offers. You ever thought about worldly things? Sometimes we get to focusing on that. Worldly things fade away. Worldly things decay. Worldly things fall apart. Worldly things can be replaced. My friend, let me encourage you to not get tangled up with the worldly things of this earth. Let me encourage you to not get tangled up with the affairs of this earth. To worry is a sin, and to worry is senseless. So opposite of what He wants us to do. After all, we are only promised whatever portion of the day that we've lived today. I'm not promised tomorrow. I'm not promised this afternoon. In the book of Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, Paul gave these instructions to the believers of Philippi. He says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Why should a Christian be focused on God? Listen, if you're not focused on God, you'll be destroyed by worry. I want to repeat that. If you're not focused on God, worry will destroy you. My friend, worry is hard on one's physical condition. Worry accomplishes absolutely nothing. Worry turns you from Jesus. Worry robs you of joy. Worry grieves the Holy Spirit. In the midst of your crisis, I ask you, are you focused on God? And if so, you won't be destroyed by that of depression. Many people in America right now are in that state. They're depressed. And a lot of them have a reason to be depressed. If my business got destroyed, I'd be depressed. If my loved one was mistreated, I'd be depressed. Think about this. Many people in America are drowning in depression. Many are seriously depressed. And it's very interesting to listen to what society says about those that are depressed. Society would say to you that are depressed, you need to see a psychiatrist. Or maybe society would say you need to see a psychologist. Or maybe society would say you need to see a counselor. Society would say to you, you need to take an antidepressant. Nothing wrong with any of those things. Nothing wrong with any of those things. But listen, what if I have no money? How am I going to pay to see a psychiatrist? How am I going to pay to see a psychologist? How am I going to pay to see a counselor? What if I don't realize that I'm depressed? It may be somebody in this audience today, and you're going through life, and you're depressed, and you don't even realize it. I had some people one time tell me I was depressed in the middle of my principalship one time. And I said, no, I'm not. And so I go to my doctor and he says, you're depressed. And I said, no, I'm not. So I came back to my office at school and I got my secretary in my office. I said, am I depressed? Yes, you're depressed. I thought, gee, they're reading past something I ain't seeing. And so I decided to get my counselor in my office. And I said, Jamie, am I depressed? And she said, yes, you have been for 6 weeks. I said, how do you know that? Because you're going into your office, you're shutting off all the lights. You're sitting in the dark. I thought, my. Well, let me tell you something. They gave me some antidepressant. I didn't take it. I'm scared of it, so I didn't take it. So I decided I'd get in a routine. This has been years ago when the preacher could walk. I got in a routine for a while there of walking about 15 to 20 minutes every day. My friend, listen to me. Listen to me. What if I don't realize I'm depressed? This is where you as Christians come in. This is where Christians come in. This is where churches come in. If you as a Christian, you need to be sensitive to those around you because they may give you signs of depression. I believe God gives us discernment as believers in Christ to recognize when a fellow believer is depressed. And one of the best things we can do is listen to that believer. Listen, they'll tell you they're depressed if you'll just listen. What's the answer that you and I have as believers? Psalms 115, verse 25. The psalmist says, quicken thou me according to thy word. The psalmist is saying, Lord, put new life in me. Put new life in me. Bible scholars believe that the psalmist of the verses we read today was in deep depression. They believe he was lying flat on his face. He had come to the end of himself, and he says to the Lord, quicken thou me according to thy word. Folks, the psalmist needed, you know what he needed? A stiff dose of scripture and a mixture of faith. What am I saying today? If you recognize that you're depressed, get in the Psalms and begin reading them. Get in the Word and begin reading them. Get in the Proverbs and begin reading them. Take time to meditate and let God speak to your heart. The inspired, infallible solution to depression is the Word of God. The inspired, infallible solution to depression is the Word of God. Are you focused on God? Beloved, if so, you will not be destroyed by low self-esteem. How do you feel about yourself? Boy, that's a good question. How do you feel about yourself? How do you feel about your self-image? Some people I know do not like themselves. They're easy to recognize. If you're in the workplace and you have one bird in there that doesn't like himself, he's going to influence all the rest of you birds. Now I've called y'all all birds. Maybe I'll live through this. My friend, listen. How do you feel about yourself? Some people I know don't like themselves, and they try living in a mud hole in life, and they want to drag you into the middle of their mud hole. I don't care about being in no mud hole. These are these that want to drag you into the mud hole. They want to get you in there, and get you depressed with them. Then what have you solved? You haven't solved anything. This reminds me of the following quote. A psychiatrist said to Ziggy, you have low self-esteem, but don't let it bother you because it is common among losers. Did y'all hear that? You have low self-esteem, but don't let it bother you because it is common among losers. And then I ran across this quote in study. Little Maria Taft was asked who she was. Listen closely. She said, my great-grandfather was the president of the United States. My grandfather was a U.S. Senator from Ohio. My father is the U.S. Ambassador to Ireland. And I am a brownie. You see, everybody must be somebody to be anybody. I want to repeat that. Everybody must be somebody to be anybody. Y'all don't let that slide over your head now. How does God feel about you, his child? How does he feel about you, his child? 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10 says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And then verse 10 says, which in times past we are not a people, but are now the people of God, which has not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Let's sum up those verses real quick. We can sum it up in about four little sentences. You are acceptable unto God. Believer, you are acceptable unto God. You are a chosen race. You are valuable unto God, a people of his possession. You are a You are capable, a royal priesthood, my friend. And last of all, you are forgivable. Aren't you glad of that? Aren't you glad that you are forgivable? That's the only way that we can become believers in Christ, is ask the Lord to forgive us of our sins. And I'm glad He's a God that does what He says. He forgives us of our sin. How do you feel about yourself? Listen, if you're focused on God, He is pleased. And that's how He feels. If you focus on God, He is pleased. And that is how He feels. In the midst of your crisis, are you focused on God? If you are focused on God, you won't be destroyed by anxiety and depression and low self-esteem. If you're focused on God, you will not be destroyed by fear. Does fear ever get its grip on you? The news media nowadays does a great job of getting people into panic and fear. You let there be a tornado warning come through Knoxville County, and if you're not careful, you'll be getting afraid when it ain't even in your neighborhood. Because the news media will hype it up, and they'll get you in a state of fear. Does fear ever get its grip on you? Oh, ours is a time when men are oftentimes guided by fear rather than faith. What is the fear that's directing your path? Men fear failure. Men fear unknown future. Men fear old age. Men fear insecurity. Men fear death. You ever thought about what the Bible says about fear and fear not? It appears some 180 times in the Bible that the word fear and fear not, I believe that many times, God wanted us to get it. How can a man overcome fear? The psalmist said it best. He said, I sought the Lord, and He heard me and delivered me from all my ways. I sought the Lord, and He heard me. My friend, fear is the wrong fear in a wrong frame is a parasite that can keep us from living the life that God wants us to live. If you're focused on God, you'll not be destroyed by fear. What a challenge for us right now in America. What a challenge right now as we listen to the news media. We turn on the liberal news channels for a little while, and we turn on the conservative news channels for a little while. You know what? I don't know about you. I get disgusted because all I want to hear is the truth. The truth. My friend, what a challenge for us right now in America. Keep focused on God, not on COVID-19. Keep focused on God, not on riots and looting. Keep focused on God, not on killing. Keep your focus on God, not on the stock market. Keep your focus on God, not on job losses. Keep focused on God, and if you are focused on God, you will not be destroyed by anxiety and depression and low self-esteem and fear. If you're focused on God, of all things, you won't be destroyed by trauma. All of us, from time to time, deal with trauma. COVID-19 has been and is a sickness that's brought on much trauma. For others, a friend suddenly dies, and that brings on trauma. For others, they're told they got to have open-heart surgery, and that brings on trauma in that life. For others, they're told that they have cirrhosis of the liver, and that brings on trauma in their life and trauma in their family's life. And the list is endless. But God wants us to stay focused on Him. Is there a solution to trauma? Keep focused on God. And if you do, you will not be destroyed by trauma. What 1 Peter 5:7 say again? Cast all your cares upon Him. He cares for you. My friend, in most cases, trauma is not a life sentence. My friend, you're valuable unto Him, and you are forgivable by Him. And I ask you today, have you asked Jesus to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Have you done that? Would you stand, please? Let us pray. Our Father, as Brother Mike and Brother Brian Clark come to the front, Father, you know the needs that are in this building today. You know that one that has never asked you to save their soul. You know that one that's been living in fear or living in trauma. You know that one that has a low self-esteem. God, you know the needs of our lives today, and you know who it is in this building today that's hurting emotionally, physically, psychologically. God, you know who each person is. And God, we pray that you meet needs and lives in this building today as we come into this time of invitation. Could be one in this audience today that needs to make way to the altar to pray. I've asked a couple of men to be here in case you'd like to kneel in the altar and pray. Maybe you'd like to kneel right where you are and pray. Could be one that maybe needs to rededicate that life to Jesus.